Let's hear briefly from the Taoiseach, who's been talking about the election result in Brussels. Brussels, here's what he said to reporters, amongst them our Europe editor, Tony Connolly.
First of all, I want to congratulate Prime Minister Johnson. It's an enormous victory for him on a personal level, and also a very clear result for his party. I think it's a positive thing that we have a decisive outcome in Britain in their elections. We had for a few years a parliament that wasn't able to form a majority around anything. We now clearly have a majority in the House of Commons to ratify the withdrawal agreement. So next steps is to ratify that withdrawal agreement, which guarantees no hard border between North and South, guarantees the protection of the common travel area, and also the fact that British and Irish citizens' rights will be protected. I'm keen to work very hard with Prime Minister Johnson on getting the Executive and Assembly up and running again in Northern Ireland. I think that's absolutely crucial now and has to be a key priority for the next couple of weeks. And then we go on to the next phase of Brexit, which is negotiating a mighty new future economic partnership between the EU and the UK, and I think that can be done.
A lot of emphasis on level playing field in that trade negotiation. What do you think that means, and how important will that be for Ireland?
Well, what I'd like to see is a new future economic partnership, a trade deal, if you like, or a trade deal plus between the UK and the EU, including Ireland. I'd like that to ensure that we still have tariff-free and quota-free trade between Britain and the European Union, and that there's a set of minimum standards so that nobody feels that there's unfair competition, that anyone's trying to undercut them when it comes to labour rights and when it comes to environmental protection and issues like that. And, you know, my conversations with Prime Minister Johnson, I think he's probably in a similar space. So it's a case now of getting on with this, and I think the prospect is there to develop a new future economic partnership between the EU and the UK, and one that's going to be mighty and one that's going to be good for all of us.
Reaction to the results in Northern Ireland last night?
Yeah, I think they're very, very significant results in Northern Ireland. I think two or three years ago I said that the political situation in Northern Ireland was like tectonic plates shifting, and if you know about plate tectonics, you'll know that things move slowly and also suddenly. Slowly because of demographics, and more suddenly because of the reaction of people in Northern Ireland to Brexit. So this is a significant result in Northern Ireland, but not dissimilar to the one in the European elections or the last Assembly elections. No unionist majority, no nationalist majority, and an ever-expanding centre ground. But one thing that it hasn't changed is that the best future for Northern Ireland is one based on power sharing, one based on reconciliation, one based on bringing all communities together, and the next step in that has to be getting the Assembly and Executive up and running before January 13th. So the Taoiseach and I, once I'm back in Dublin anyway, and he's already back there, we're going to be giving this everything between now and the middle of January to get the Assembly and Executive up and running.
Leo Varadkar was also asked if the way was now cleared for a general election here in February.
I think we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit there. You know, first of all, we want to see the withdrawal agreement ratified so that we can have that orderly Brexit. And secondly, I think there really has to be a focus between now and January 13th on Northern Ireland and getting the Assembly and Executive up and running. So that's going to be the focus. I've always said that the election, if it's my choice, it may not be my choice, but if it is my choice, the election in Ireland would happen at the right time for the country, and that's still not yet.
Taoiseach Leo Varadkar speaking to Irish media in Brussels this morning, and with me in studio now is the Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin. Thank you for joining us. It was interesting that point Professor Sir John Curtis was making about it was actually only 47%, if you like, backing Leave in yesterday's vote, but that 47% was concentrated in the Tories. So do you accept now, finally, Brexit is going to happen? It's going to begin to be getting done by the end of January?
Well, I was always of the view that it was going to get done, and I always felt that there was a lot of wishful thinking about the place that Britain would in the short term entertain a second referendum. And I think the Conservative victory and Boris Johnson's victory was a victory that was based, first of all, I think it has to be factored in that the opposition, and this is not meant in a personal sense, but all observers would say that the opposition probably had one of the most unpopular opposition leaders in a long, long time. And that was a factor. And in addition to that, then, there was a very clear message emanating from the Conservatives on Brexit. Let's get it done. Very simply, you could hear in the Vox Pop people. It resonated with people. And the idea that this would go on and on and on if an alternative was elected, I think, frightened people off considering the alternative and considering the opposition parties. So there's very clear messaging. I think it was a stunning electoral victory. If you look at what happened to the locals and Europeans, Conservatives have done as low as 12. almost existential, and back up to 41 with a stunning majority. But what it means for us, I think, is it'll be interesting to see which Boris Johnson we get. I mean, the Brexit that he favours is, in many respects, a harsher Brexit than that which Theresa May favoured. And if he wants to take Britain out of the customs union, that could spell trouble for us. So he has to reconcile all the various irreconcilables in terms of the trade deal that he ultimately wants to agree with the European Union.
And we've seen a couple of incarnations of Boris Johnson. We've seen the one that President Trump likes to call Britain Trump, and a lot of people saying they're similar with their tousled blonde manes and so on. And then on the other hand, we have, you know, the globalist Lord Mayor of London. So we don't know, actually, once he's freed of the European research group, those hard Brexiteers in his own party, and freed of confidence and supply of the DUP, we don't know what kind of deal Boris Johnson himself really, really wants.
That is a fair comment in the sense that throughout his political career, he's moved from right to centre, back to right again, back to centre again, and back to right again. And I mean, he was one of the architects of the Leave vote being successful, in my view, cynically, and in my view, doing a lot of damage. And I see no upside in Brexit, and it's a damaging Brexit. But yes, one note of caution, the last number of Tory leaders have never actually been free from the hardline membership. If you take Cameron had to do the referendum.
Are there lessons maybe from Jack Lynch and a whopping majority? It may not always be as comfortable as it looks.
There's that, but in British politics is different to Irish politics in this sense that the Prime Ministers, in latter-day Tory Prime Ministers, have not been able to free themselves from their grassroots ideological line in terms of Europe and so on. It's caused huge problems for Tories down through the years. So can Boris free himself from that? Can he free himself from his election rhetoric and get a reasonable, decent deal between Europe and Britain in terms of trade and overall relationships?
Talks on the restoration of Stormont start on Monday. Do you think the DUP, obviously, losing two seats, and particularly Deputy Leader Nigel Dodds, who was so identified with their support for the Conservatives and for the Brexit project, do you think a chastened DUP is now going to be more willing to do a deal?
Well, I think you've got a chastened Sinn Féin as well, by the way, because I canvassed in Derry with Colm Eastwood. I canvassed in the local elections with Michael Savage and others. The people in Northern Ireland were fed up with politicians not working in Parliament, not working in the Executive. So I think actually the Executive and the Assembly will come back. I think the DUP will want it restored. I think Sinn Féin will want it restored. And I think not before time, and no credit to anybody, the people are very clear in Northern Ireland. They want their politicians working for them. They want the institutions working because the health issue is very big in Northern Ireland right now. Education is an issue. We met school principals who were short of funding. And the people are looking in amazement at the idea that their politicians aren't working either in the Assembly or the Executive, or indeed weren't working on Brexit in Westminster
as well. And in terms of those talks and getting... Sorry to cut across, Micheál Martin. In terms of those talks and getting Stormont back together again, we know that the issue around abortion, that was dealt with by the last Parliament. We know that the issue around marriage equality, that has been dealt with. The issue that appears to be outstanding from the previous rounds of talks is Irish language rights. What's your understanding of what that stumbling block represents? Is it sequencing? Is it which comes first, the act
or Stormont?
I'm not
convinced about that, to be frank. I think it's within the powers of both and all of the parties to agree a framework on the Irish Language Act. There should be an Irish Language Act, but it's not. It shouldn't hold up the restoration of the Assembly and the Executive, in my view. And there is issues around sequencing, there's issues... But in essence, I met about 25 senior citizens studying Irish in Newry, and they couldn't understand why the Language Act was holding up politicians doing their job, quite frankly. I'm an Irish former Irish language teacher myself. I'm committed to the Irish language. We need the language to be a unifying force within Northern Ireland, not one that divides. I think unionists and the DUP need to show respect to the language, and vice versa. We need to accommodate people's unfounded fears about the language. Linda Irvine in East Belfast has shown the way. She's teaching English or Irish language classes on the Shankill.
She's a fantastic lecturer.
That's the way we need to go with
this. The late David Irvine, her husband.
But I failed. I was tactically, and It was being used. I think both the DUP and Sinn Féin were reluctant to go in for quite a while. And now I think they will go back in now, given the results. I mean, DUP are down about 5%, Sinn Féin are down about 7%, close to it. So they won't want, I presume, to go back into assembly elections.
In terms of yourselves and your relationship with the SDLP, I mean, you were up campaigning with Colm Eastwood, but Claire Hannah, she had Dara Cleary, but she also had the Labour Party's Jed Nash. Colm Eastwood also had the backing of Leo Varadkar. So this relationship between Fianna Fáil and the SDLP, how close is it?
It's been very positive, warm and quite close.
But they seem to be quite close to lots of other people.
When we
too.
Decided to go with, you know, into the partnership with the SDLP, we identified, in terms of our analysis and research and so on, that there was a significant middle ground opinion in Northern Ireland that wanted representation.
It doesn't seem to be an exclusive relationship, though.
We're very satisfied with the relationship and the partnership that is built up. And I think it has, I think the SDLP did exceptionally well. There's a long road to go, by the way, and there's a lot of capacity building required. But I think this gives them a significant shot in the arm. I mean, the Colm Eastwood and Claire Hannah have the biggest majorities now. Michael Savage in South Down, only 1,600 away from the third SDLP seat. So this is a very significant breakthrough in terms of the restoration of SDLP mm-hmm. capacity. There is some distance to go of that, I'm in no doubt. But I think I think there's a lot of confidence coming back into the SDLP. I think our partnership has been of assistance. And we'll develop that on a policy front in the coming months.
And the result for the alliance, Naomi Long nearly getting there in East Belfast, and Stephen Farry coming through in South Down, wasn't it?
Stephen Farry did very well in North Down, I think. And given that,
we're going to be dealing with a Brexit, which is going to be putting a regulatory border in the Irish Sea. So if Stormont does come back, it's going to be in the background where the union itself is going to be up for discussion a lot more than it has been up to now. Are you in favour of a citizens' assembly, of discussing the new relationships that will have to be discussed as Brexit is put in place?
Well, I think before we do anything, I think the politicians in Northern Ireland have to demonstrate to everybody that they can work the institutions of the Good Friday Agreement. It's incredible that we've been 3 years without what were the essential ingredients of cross-community power sharing and politics not being worked. That is a very clear prerequisite. And some people want to go on and on discussing, you know, potential this and so on without actually doing what people want them to do in the first instance.
And in fairness to Sinn Féin, Tánaiste de Simon Coveney has credited them with the efforts that they made previously in the talks to try and secure a deal, hasn't he?
In the latter day, but Sinn Féin collapsed it originally on a heating scheme. You know, if we had a scandal here, you don't collapse the Parliament. I think it was unforgivable to collapse it myself. They may have had their frustrations and so on, but we can't collapse, you know, Parliament if a scandal emerges. And you can't collapse an executive or a government. You deal with the scandal. You have your public inquiry and you then deal with the outcome of that. And I think that was a big, big mistake in my view. And yes, the DUP should have, in the last round of talks, should have come back in into the Assembly and the Executive. And I think both parties have got the results. They've been told by the electorate that they don't approve of this type of abstentionist approach to politics. So let's get the existing institutions. Good Friday Agreement has within it the evolutionary
framework. We've Mary Lou MacDonald coming up after the break, so I'll put some of that to her. A couple of quick questions. Do you want to see Julian Smith back as Northern Ireland Secretary, despite the fact that he was a Remainer and maybe viewed as suspect?
But the problem is telling a British Prime Minister who he should pick might be the death knell for the. He's very good. He's very effective. I think he's diligent. And I would welcome his reappointment because, you know, he's been engaged with us as a party. He respects people across the board. I think he, in terms of getting the executive back up by the deadline of the 13th of January, I think he knows what's at stake. He knows how to put it together. I think both you'd have willing parties all around now, given what they've heard on the doorsteps. So I think, yes, he should be reappointed to facilitate the restoration of the executive and the assembly.
And you heard Taoiseach Leo Varadkar there saying it may not be in his choice when the next general election happens. John McGuinness has already said he won't be abstaining if there's another no confidence motion in a Fine Gael minister. Say there's a motion of no confidence in Simon Harris as health minister in January. Brexit is going through. Would you in conscience abstain, or would you finally bring this government down?
I'm very clear on this, and I've said it, and we need clarity, we need certainty now. Because of the Brexit situation, okay, there will be legislation taking us up to the end of January. The spring session will commence, I think, around the 15th of the 16th of January. In my view, that should go ahead. There's 34 days, if you like, to have an orderly wind down. I think Easter, to me, and is the natural cut-off point of this Dáil. And I think Fianna Fáil have demonstrated, I think, constructive approach. We've given stability to the country in the context of a no-deal Brexit. We've given a functioning government when we didn't have a majority ourselves after the last general election. We do believe there should be a change of government. We do believe the government has failed in health and housing. But we believe that there should be an orderly wind-down. And in our view, after Easter should be the right time for a general election.
So the Dáil returns in January, sits until Easter, and a general election
because
is called.
We have, for example, we have to increase the threshold for the over 70s medical card. That has to be done. We should have medical disclosure. But given everything that happens to vital check, that can be done before Easter. And then there's the utilisation of children, abusing of children by the drug gangs, which John Curran has legislation for. And finally, James Lawless's online transparency bill, which others in the Parliament want passed as well, in advance of our general election, so we can deal with the exploitation of
social
media.
You may not have the numbers
media.
Of other people agree
well,
with John McGuinness.
If we could get agreement on what I'm suggesting here, that would bring certainty. And like everyone said, Fianna Fáil would be pulling the rug from under the government when it suited them for the last three or four. We didn't do that. I haven't played games with this. And I'm not trying to catch anybody out here. I'm simply saying we've demonstrated good faith in everything we've done so far. And I just want to conclude it in a way that we could get an agreed certainty around the date, in my view, after Easter, do the thing properly and professionally with certainty. So that, and then avoid this manoeuvrings about anyone can put down motions. To me, that's just parliamentary tactics, manoeuvring and all the rest of it. I mean, were people really serious that we were going to have a general election on the 28th of December and campaigning right through Christmas? That was a political stunt. Fine, during the by-elections. But it was never a serious runner. So I'm not going to be taken in by that kind of manoeuvrings. I personally believe that there's a natural ending to this. There should be an election. It will happen. It should be after Easter.
Natural ending to this interview too, because I've gone way over time. Micheál Martin, Fianna Fáil leader, thank you very much indeed. Let's go briefly to our Europe editor, Tony Connolly. Europe's leaders looking for a way forward. What will they be saying today, Tony?
Well, they're actually leaving, Anya, a lot of them at the moment. They've come out, they've issued their conclusions of the overall summit with a relatively short reference to Brexit, welcoming the result, the clarity that gives, and that's been backed up by rhetorical welcomes by people like Angela Merkel and Charles Michel, the new council president. Ursula von der Leyen, the new commission president, have all said that they are warmly welcome this new mandate that Boris Johnson has, but it's been tinged with a bit of an edge because the clear message now is that these trade negotiations, once they get up and running, will be with a potential competitor on Europe's doorstep in future. The big phrase we'll hear a lot about next year is level playing field. Europe does not want to be undercut by a low regulation economy in the UK. And we're also going to be getting into fisheries negotiations, which will be extremely difficult. So words of welcome, a positive response to the outcome. But the Commission will be getting its mandate up and running very soon. And that mandate and negotiating mandate will have to be approved by member states before the trade negotiations start. So a lot of work will now start happening fairly quickly.
Tony Connolly in Brussels, thank you for that. And we'll be talking to Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald after the break.